we talk football. Maine Black Bears, 35 days away from their season opener against the Delaware Blue Hens. It is back. And to talk more about the FCS football ranks, we're joined by our friend Craig Haley from Stats Perform FCS, the senior editor there. You also see his work at Athlon Sports and TheAnalyst.com. Craig, thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you, Rich. And you're right. Maine doesn't ease its way into the schedule playing Delaware. That's some matchup to start the season.
Yeah, it's going to be a great kickoff to things. And we were thinking about players and coaches and how it's been a short off season for them, but it's a short off season for the people who cover college football as well. And an off season where you have a small sample size of the previous season in many cases to try and figure out what 2021 will look like.
It is a small sample size, but going into this year, I just think it's a fascinating outlook, because if you're a player who played in the spring, you're most likely here playing in the fall with the extra year that they've given you if you're a senior. Every team you look is full of veteran players, and you know, some teams returning almost full starting lineups. It's incredible what some of these teams look like, experience-wise.
Although teams also dealing with the new transfer rules, and Maine, of course, has lost a couple of its more talented players who've gone on to opportunities at the FBS level. But every team has got to deal with that, and the smart teams, the ones that will be successful, are the ones who jump in and play the game and look for new players for themselves before they lose their own guys.
It's true, and I was on a call yesterday with a coach talking about, you know, if you lose a 3-year letter winner to an FBS program, you're not looking to necessarily fill with a freshman. You're looking to bring in a 3-year letter winner from another program. So it is, you know, it does work both ways. I found that the 2020 season just seemed to lose a lot more key players nationally than maybe going into this year. I feel, you know, if you stayed for the spring season, you're probably have stayed again for your fall season, which works out. You can still play a fall season at an FBS program and then train for the draft right afterwards.
And it's so strange. We were talking with Nick Charlton earlier this week that when you hear that they've brought in a community college player who has, and it's true, 5 years of eligibility.
It's incredible. There's a player at East Tennessee State that I did a story on this summer who's the NCAA, when I reached out and they looked into it, they've identified him as the first player with an eighth year of eligibility in any sport in the NCAA. And they weren't doubting that it could happen again elsewhere, that they could come across somebody. So, yes, with red shirts and injuries and then the free year because of COVID, you know, players are staying a lot longer, and there's a lot of 6-year players this year, especially when generally you see 5th-year players, being your most experienced.
Well, let's start with the big picture here, Craig. How good are the defending champions, and are they in a position to at least challenge for a repeat?
They should. They really do have a great chance, and they should probably be number one in the preseason poll. Our poll comes out August 9th, Monday, August 9th, Stats Perform Top 25. They have just about everybody back. They have a few new players, a couple transfers, Tim Hart being their biggest one, a linebacker from Memphis. But, you know, they've gotten over the hump, which was kind of a mental roadblock with them getting knocked out too many times in the playoffs, deep in the playoffs, and many times by blowouts. So, you know, Casey Keeler has his finger on the pulse of this team, and they should be tremendous again. I think they have a schedule that sets up for a possible, you know, undefeated regular season, which would get them, you know, a 1 or 2 seed, probably a 1 seed. So, yes, they're very much right there, the team to beat. I'm not saying they're going to repeat. It's a word they're using now, and once they start training camp, they're not going to use the word repeat. But it's just, you know, James Madison, North Dakota State, South Dakota State, they're all there with veteran teams as much so as.
Well, let's talk about the top conferences. And in the past, we've often talked about the Big Three. Last year was a bit of a down year for the Big Sky for a number of reasons, but should they be back in that conversation along with the Missouri Valley and the CAA?
Yes, they're a top three conference. And 2 years ago, 2019, they were the first conference to have four teams earn seeds in the playoffs. They all made it to the three of them made it to the quarterfinals, and they had a down spring, that's for sure. But it had a lot to do with Montana and Montana State sitting it out. Sacramento State was a champion 2 years ago. They also sat it out. They're all back, so it's going to make that conference much stronger again. But I think the way that Weber State lost I believe it was a three seed, if I'm remembering correctly, in the playoffs at home, in the first round, that didn't reflect well on the conference going into this year. I think they have a lot to prove. I think the CAA and the Missouri Valley are still the top two conferences, but the Big Sky is third, and then this combination of the WAC and the ASUN is very strong. The one-year alignment, so they could have enough teams for a playoff, an automatic playoff bid, and that new conference includes Sam Houston.
What's a conference that's on the move, a conference that's on the rise, and could pose some trouble for people when their conference champion gets into the postseason this year?
Well, I do think the Southern Conference is going to have a good year. It's been a little while since they've been very strong in the playoffs. That might be a big jump for them to go very deep with teams. But I find that you can make a case for maybe seven of their nine teams as winning the title there. So I think there's great depth. I'm feeling the way about the Southern Conference with all their veteran teams, the way I felt about the Southland going into the 2020 season. And those teams did kind of beat up on each other when they had mostly a spring conference schedule and not necessarily a lot of non-conference. So, and that conference included Sam Houston at the time, which became your national champion. So I do feel the Southern Conference could take a jump this year the way the Southland did this past year.
We're talking with Craig Haley here on Downtown. One of the big surprises, and it was great to see last year, was the play of VMI. Are they poised to be a contender again this season?
Yes, they're the team to beat in the Southern Conference, but there's so many teams that Chattanooga was their preseason pick there. But they had a young quarterback last year step in, Seth Morgan, who just, was lights out, and I could see him taking the next step. They have a lot back on defense. Coach Scott Wackenheim won the Eddie Robinson Award with the, best coaching performance of the year, Nobody was going to dispute that. So I think VMI is going to have another excellent year. They can't sneak up on anybody, and that, does matter because then you get circled on everybody's schedule when you're the defending champ.
The CAA preseason poll came out earlier this week. No big surprises there. James Madison clearly deserves to be the number one team, and we talked a little bit about Delaware. The question with them in recent years has been, can they get enough offense going? Well, they certainly did in the spring, and I think it's going to be a great race because this Villanova team, from what we saw last year, is quite good. And then a lot of teams there in the middle, whether it's Richmond, New Hampshire, Albany, and I think possibly the Maine Black Bears as well, might have something to say, and it might give the conference, again, a shot at four or five teams in postseason.
Well, you know as well as anybody that every year we see Maine down in that, 8-9 range, and this time obviously 9th. That just shows you the depth of the conference because, yes, Maine should really trouble teams, terrific quarterback, always a physical style play. It's a brutal league when every week you're playing somebody who's, could be nationally ranked. And, I think anybody who's not picked at the top is going to use that as motivation. It's a terrific conference. I mean, I think, Albany, could do well. I think New Hampshire has a lot to prove. Rhode Island was terrific last year. You can make a case up and down the CAA, and I think Maine being 9th, they always seem to have that magical season when everybody's not paying attention to them.
Yeah, the last time they were picked 9th was 2018, and they went to the national semifinal.
That was a magical year, and you know, I just, you know, would love to see it because it's a fun program that, you know, has always produced NFL talent, always produced great wins, and just a great, you know, tradition. So it would be fun to see.
I know you're very, very busy working on putting together the initial watch list for the big awards this year. Who are a couple of names to keep an eye on for the Walter Payton Award and the Buck Buchanan?
Well, we do have, you know, both winners are back because, you know,
right,
it's a year where everybody is, you know, pretty much returning. And the winner was Cole, and the Payton was Cole Kelly of the Southeastern Louisiana quarterback. And then for the Buchanan out of the SWAC was Jordan Lewis, who just led the nation in sacks and tackles for loss down at Southern. So, you know, they're going for back-to-back. I mean, there's a lot of competition. You know, you look at, quarterbacks like Eric Berrier, Eastern Washington quarterback. He's right there. He was the runner-up. You know, Julius Chestnut of Northeast, out of the Northeast Conference. You would know him well, the Sacred Heart.
Absolutely.
He's the best running back out there. It's a stellar group. I mean, in the Buchanan, you know, I think Mike Green, he might have been my pick that I voted for last year, if I remember. No, he was my second choice. I'm sorry. Down at JMU. Northern Iowa has a great D lineman, Jared Brinkman. I mean, you can make a case that no matter who you pick, there's somebody out there who's just as worthy. And then our watch list for both of those are next week. We'll have it on theanalyst.com. The Walter Payton's on Wednesday. The watch list for the Buck Buchanan is on Thursday. So it's a great group for both awards.
Well, it is a busy time for you, and so we, as always, appreciate you making some time for us. Craig, you do such a great job of covering FCS football. It's the best around for my money, and always great for us to catch up with you. We'll do it again as the season rolls on.
Terrific. I appreciate it, Rich.
Craig Haley, Stats Perform FCS with us here on Downtown. Look for those watch lists. Look for the preseason poll as well. Coming soon, Stats FCS, Stats Perform FCS, TheAnalyst.com, and AthlonSports.com as well.